And it's another installment of the Freelancer Q&A series that I have been doing. I'm going to apologize in advance if the cat that is out of frame laying over there on the bed that you can't see starts wailing or doing whatever he might do. That's just something we'll have to deal with. Anyway, the subject of today's stream is, I'm thinking about using LinkedIn to generate leads. Is there any way to do that other than cold outreach? So the idea is LinkedIn seems like a good channel. I believe the person we're in question here is in some variant of the custom application development space. So is LinkedIn a good channel for leads in the first place? And then if it is, let me move my notes over here. If it is, how do you take advantage of it without, I guess, essentially spamming people? Well, let's be nicer and call it cold outreach. I don't mean to say that cold outreach is always spam. It's just, you know, spam adjacent if you, even if you do it right. So I can see why you wouldn't have much of an appetite for it. And I'll get into that a little more here in a second. Let's do a little bit of context setting here. So if you are providing services like custom application development, custom consulting, what we're talking about is you have an offering that sells for probably five or maybe even six figures, depending on the duration of the engagements that you do. It's going to be very high touch, custom application development type engagements. And you're not going to be able to do a lot of them at once, maybe two, depending on the kind of hours we're talking about here. So I'm just teeing all that up to understand like what your sales funnel would be like and the nature of your sales. And basically, if you're doing something like custom application development, you probably, you know, let's call it three, four deals a year you're going to need to do because they're probably a few months in duration. So you need to do three or four deals a year. And if you have a, I don't know, let's say a 25% close rate on people that you have sales conversations with, you're talking about 12 to 16 sales calls, which means maybe, again, depending on the rate at which you convert leads to sales calls, might mean that you need, I don't know, maybe 30 leads. This is all going to vary wildly. I'm just kind of trying to set the stage here to think in terms of like the amount of stuff that you need to do through a medium like LinkedIn in order to make it effective. So I guess the upshot here is compared to something like a SaaS or compared to productized service that you could sell a lot of, you don't need a lot of leads because you don't need a lot of sales. So your prospecting, your lead generation, ideally is going to be warm. You know, maybe there will be some referrals in the mix and you're cultivating specific relationships with people that you think make sense for you. But generally speaking, you don't need to do a ton of that. So it's kind of a quality over quantity play. Contrast that with something like a SaaS. You know, if you built some kind of tool that people signed up on a website for, and it didn't matter to you from a cost perspective, if you had 10 or 1,000 users, it was all the same. You didn't have to do anything more. You built the SaaS. Now you just want as many people as possible. Well, then you have a whole different like way of prospecting and getting business. You want to get the word out as far and fast as possible. When it comes to custom work, custom project work in the 5 to 6 figure range, you can really make all the mileage you need out of some carefully crafted and cultivated relationships. So let's get back to LinkedIn and talk about that a little bit. LinkedIn is a platform. And I will say here that there's a lot of things I can weigh in on to varying degrees. We have learned a lot, you know, through Hit Subscribe about digital marketing. So I understand social media from a fairly theoretical planning numbers perspective. I'm not especially good at it. I might be better at LinkedIn than others. So like I get it, but I do want to throw out the caveat that I'm not some kind of master prospector or what have you. So you're getting kind of my take on LinkedIn, probably more as a consumer than a lead gen channel. So just bear that in mind. But LinkedIn, as a platform, is professional. I would say it's the most professional, if you will, of the social media. You don't tend to see a lot of the, you know, nonsense that you see on Facebook or, you know, the kind of pictures you see on Instagram. Like mostly people are talking about professional things. But over the course of time, you've seen a lot of kind of like hucksters make their way onto the platform. There's a lot of crap. There's a lot of noise on LinkedIn. And in particular, it is absolutely a venue for unsolicited cold outreach. So I imagine a lot of you that might watch this, if you're engineers, you probably just get bombarded with recruiter cold outreach through LinkedIn. You get like the old connect and pitch. So it's like, hey, want to connect? And then you do. And then they just start trying to sell you stuff, trying to recruit you, whatever it may be. For me, it's been an interesting transition over the last like 8 years or whatever since going off on my own, where most of the people in the beginning were trying to sell me to others. And now most of the outreach I get is people trying to sell other people to me as a business owner. Also, I get a lot of cold outreach about sales. So that's a big one. Like, hey, we can help you generate leads or whatever. But I would estimate that for me, about 95%+ of the connection requests I get, or the messages, the in-mail that I get is just blanket carpet bomb spam for some kind of low value commodity type service. It is people trying to sell me offshore labor. It is people trying to sell me onshore labor. It is people trying to sell me lead generation and a mix of other assorted crap. And so the reason I'm teeing this up so cynically is to help you understand that's what you're up against. So if your plan, and granted, you know, the question asker here is saying, I don't want to do a cold outreach, but do understand that if what you're doing is cold outreach, you are shouting into such a noisy room that nobody's going to hear you. It might not have been as much like this, you know, 7-8 years ago on the platform. I think probably outreach through LinkedIn did tend to work a little bit better, but now just, I mean, if I'm as a consumer of it, any kind of representation, it's just, you know, it's so like I've basically stopped accepting connection requests. So yeah, you don't want to do cold outreach. And it's even tough just trying to connect with people, even if you fully intend not to message them with anything. So prospecting there can be a little bit difficult. I would definitely skip cold outreach through that platform. So yeah, you're on track there. But let's talk about I guess, like, how could you use the platform? Ways that I've seen it used well, how I would recommend doing it. Understand what we're really talking about here. If you're trying to sell custom services and just trying to get in front of, you know, what did I say? Maybe like 30-ish new people a year in order to have as much deal flow as you need to maintain your business. What you're really talking about there isn't any kind of campaign. You don't need to depersonalize it in any way. You need to identify 30 human beings and then try to build relationships with them. So first of all, I would say you want to take the long view here. You don't want to be doing this through LinkedIn, this kind of prospecting, if your goal is to have business tomorrow. If your goal is to have business tomorrow, there you're going to, you know, kind of really reach out to and try to make the most of your personal network, personal referrals and all that. And then actually even above that, I would say reach out to anyone you've worked with in the past that liked you. There is no better source of business than existing or former clients. So when it comes to this style of prospecting, how to use LinkedIn to generate stable deal flow, take the long view. You are looking to build 30 relationships with potential buyers each year. And I don't mean, you know, just get them as prospects. I mean, you're talking about building relationships with 30 people with the understanding that those 30 people will be culled down to, you know, 10% or whatever that will actually do business with you, meaning 90% of the relationships you build will just be relationships. So, you know, look for buyers. You want them to be qualified, but you also probably want them to be people that you resonate with in some sort of way. You like the cut of their jib, you respect them or whatever. And you're really just trying to establish kind of some sort of professional passing relationship. I would say that generally speaking, you want to ease your way into that. So start with, like, you know, trying to connect with them in a very clearly not salesy way, personalized message, the whole nine yards. And then once you connect with them, be pretty unobtrusive. You're going to work your way into communication. So it might start, you know, go like some of their content that they post, if they post content, find ways to do them favors if at all possible. So if they're like, hey, I'm hiring for whatever, share that post. You're going to, in as much as you can, try to build a positive balance of favors, like their stuff, comment on their stuff. help them get eyeballs, help them get attention. Once they kind of become familiar with you, if you like their stuff a few times, share their stuff, comment on their stuff, have a little bit of back and forth in the comments, then maybe you can say, hey, you know, I saw this article that reminded me of something you had posted, you know, last week. DM them and say, like, here you go. This might be interesting to you. So get in the habit of this kind of exchange of a little bit of value and conversation. And gradually over the course of time, build on that relationship in a way that's just kind of organic, in the sense that you're just kind of going wherever it takes it. And maybe at the very end of all that, the thing that I would do, if you're going to kind of try to get it into a more of a commercial type of relationship, I personally would say something like, hey, I'm developing a new offering, or I'm thinking of trying to do something, you know, and you would in theory be a potential buyer, but I'm really just kind of trying to feel out the market, do some market research. So I'm not trying to sell you anything, but would you be up for me picking your brain? If you've got the cash flow for it, offer to pay them for an hour of consulting time. That's a great way not to seem like you're trying to get freebies. A lot of times they'll probably turn that down and be like, no, it's okay. I still do that to this day. If people want to get on like pick your brain type calls, I probably shouldn't, given that I have not nearly enough time on my hands, but like I'll do things like that. So that is maybe in loose terms, the presence I would cultivate for prospecting on LinkedIn is a very gradual warming of a relationship between you and potential buyers. That's the frame of it. I've made some notes here on like specific tactics that I might leverage here. So first of all, when you're looking to do this, and I very much think of this as prospecting, it's not marketing really. I don't know that I'd spend a lot of time creating content to try to bring people in this fashion. And I'll get to content in a moment here. I would look at it just because the deal flow you need is so small as truly relationship building. So I think of this as prospecting. You're identifying people who you may later do business with and trying to build relationships. And I want you to fix it in your mind that when you are good at what you do, when you're good at helping clients, them giving you work, so to speak, it's not an asymmetrical exchange of value. They're not doing you a favor. If you're good at what you do, you're helping them as much as they help you. So you're really thinking of this as kind of like identifying potential partnerships. So through that lens, you're really just trying to build relationships with people that you think there's like going to be a mutual exchange of value. So the first thing you want to do is go get a CRM, even if that's just a spreadsheet or something that you keep. And I think I've talked about this before. If this successfully processes and all this, I'm pointing up there, I will put a call out in the YouTube video that I eventually produce, because I did talk about CRMs at one point. That is 100% something I would do. So first, identify the people you want to build relationships with, put them into a CRM so that you can kind of loosely track the communications that you have with them and what you're doing. And this is going to help, because if you're kind of in the process of over time building relationships with a number of people, you don't want to get all creepy and say like, oh man, I haven't done anything on this in a while, so I'm just going to go and like everything Susie Smith has posted in the last month. Like, don't be a weirdo. Keep track in the CRM of how much you've interacted and with whom, so that you strike the balance between absentee and creepy. And generally speaking, you would want to keep track of the level of kind of, relationship that you've built. So is this somebody you're exchanging friendly DMs with? Is it somebody you just connected with? So keep track of all that, and you'll be able to keep track of your prospects much more easily at scale. You're going to need to connect with them. I mean, ideally, maybe you are already, and hey, great. You're going to need to get connected with them. If you know somebody in common with them, you might ask for an introduction. That's a little bit formal. When I, there was a time where I was trying to like grow my network in the earlier days of Hit Subscribe. And I remember mostly if I was sending connection requests, I'd just send it and like some default message goes out. I think what I eventually had more luck with was putting something kind of innocuous in the subject line, just like elephant in the room, saying something like, hey, I want to be connected with you because X, and make X a valid reason and say like, I'm not going to try to sell you anything now or later. And I think that improves the rate at which people accept connection requests. That rate is still low if they don't know you. So even if you do something like that and play all your cards right, imagine you're going to send out, I don't know, 10 connection requests and maybe two people accept them. Because, you know, for a lot of years, I would have just, you know, it would have and did accept connection requests from anybody. These days, I think I'd turn down connection requests from everybody unless they're clearly someone I know. Like if sometimes I'll get connection requests after meeting clients or prospects on a call. And then, oh, hey, yeah, you know, I remember you. But I kind of outside of that, now I just ignore all of them because it's been so noisy. So do understand that you're going to get a lot of declines. Part of that also might be that I think a lot of people don't go on LinkedIn all that often. So expect that the, you know, conversion rate, if you will, on that connection request won't be real high. So if you want to increase your orbit by 30 people to build relationships with, you might need to send out 150, 200 connection requests. Once you've done that, find ways, as I was saying before, like to grow the relationship, but by doing them a favor. So sharing their stuff is a big one. If they're posting a job description or if they're posting, you know, hey, does anybody know how to do X or whatever? You really want to keep an eye out. You want their experience to be that you are helping them. You don't want to be like transparent that like, hey, I'm in relationship building mode because this business best practices book told me to like three of your things and then ask for a favor. Don't be executing some transactional framework that's really transparent. Like you may think you're being slick if you do something like that. You're not. It's kind of obvious when people are doing stuff like that. So truly, like you have these connections, see the stuff that they're posting, and then brainstorm ways to be helpful or pleasant or whatever. And ideally find ways to kind of tip the balance a little bit into your favor. Like they share something, you reshare it. You've done them a favor. Maybe, yeah, they haven't asked for it, but they see that and probably think like, oh okay. They might feel like the slightest twinge of a little bit of obligation. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not what you're going for, but it's better that you're establishing yourself as somebody that helps. And then, you know, graduating to, if that is successful, if you start to build some rapport, then yeah, graduate to other, maybe like slightly more personal or more high touch, like exchanges of value. You know, if they ask for your opinion in the comments, you can exchange messages. And then maybe at some point you DM them and say something like, hey, you know, I saw you posted X. I do have an idea. You should reach out to so-and-so. So look for ways to build that up. As you're growing these relationships, and this one may seem controversial to some people to an extent, one of the things I see people do a lot when they are transparently prospecting on LinkedIn is they create content. They either create content that's sort of like this value bomb, you know, it's got a lot of checkboxes and emojis, and you know that they were reading some template somewhere on how to like get the most eyeballs on the LinkedIn algorithm. And usually this content comes of the form, or it's what I call performative content. So you go and you want people to buy, you know, like Ruby on Rails app dev from you. So what you do is you go out and you create some content, and the aim of that content is for you to share it in the feed and show everybody what an ace crackerjack Ruby engineer you are. So, you know, you're in there talking about like complex, arcane, intricate design patterns or whatever the case may be. Now, if you are selling staff augmentation, which is what a lot of like app dev type labor is, number one, most of your buyers probably don't care and or won't be impressed. You're not really speaking their language. The person that would care would be like an architect or somebody that the buyer would delegate to hire you. But, you know, all of that aside, creating performative content is what employees do. I mean, like a resume is performative content, cover letters, all that kind of crap that you do. It's kind of content that has no actual value. It's just designed to impress. And when I say no actual value, I mean, it has value to you, the content creator, because it's like, hey, look at me, I'm smart. And if that goes well, you get hired to do something. It has no value to the consumer. I mean, people, you know, in my role send me resumes and I'm like, oh man, for the love of God, do I really have to read this? Performative content that's designed to showcase what an ace you are is not interesting to other people. It doesn't help them. It doesn't amuse them. you're banking on this idea that like, okay, somebody's going to read this. They're going to grade me. That grade's going to be an A. And then they're going to be like, ooh, I like A students. I wouldn't do that. What I would do instead is get into the heads of your buyers and think about things that would actually help them. So if your buyers are people that have to hire Ruby engineers, I would, instead of creating, you know, like, look at me, I'm smart, I know design patterns content, create something like content around like, what are some pitfalls when it comes to like enlisting a vendor to do Ruby development or something, like what are things you might not know to look for that you ought to look for. It's a quick off the cuff example, but that's actually helpful. So your buyer that, you know, maybe isn't a Ruby developer, but needs to hire Ruby developers. You're thinking in their world, like what would help, some kind of guide to hiring, pitfalls to avoid, how to evaluate a Ruby project. You know, what are the market rates, et cetera. So get in the mind of your buyer and create content that actually helps them, and then share that type of content if you're going to share any content at all. It is an ancillary benefit if that content makes you look smart. The content should have value that stands alone. And I think people really get that twisted, especially because of the whole like resume performative employee thing. But I think people look at thought leaders and instead of thinking, hey, those people have figured something out that is valuable to others and shared it. And the kind of people that figure things out and help others are tend to be smart. They get the cause and effect wrong. It's like, instead of I should figure out how to help other people and then just trust that that makes me look smart, it's I should figure out how to look smart and then people will want me to help them. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox about that, but I would avoid creating performative content. I think it'll lead to a lot of grinding and just like arguing with your competition rather than having any real inroads with your buyers. Your buyers aren't in the like business consumption sense interested in grading you. They just want their problem solved. Next up, I would say, and this might move you off the LinkedIn platform, but as you build these relationships, you know, maybe you have started to learn and have conversations, share things occasionally with people that you want to do business with. You might start to have more involved conversations, and that might move directly to you talking about how to do business together, or it might just be that you build sort of a business friendship. Once that starts to happen, I would start to use that to either join, you know, maybe on platform LinkedIn communities, if those are still kind of a thing. I don't really know. I don't like go into LinkedIn communities, but if those are a thing, join them and participate. You know, I do a lot more reading than sharing, but participate as a good citizen. Or, you know, maybe those people are in off-platform groups like Slack communities or other forms of communities, professional associations, et cetera. So start to get to know these prospects, get to understand where they hang out, and then try to go where they are. So, and in fact, that might even be kind of a source of conversation. Like I found, frankly, that if you're just transparent about your motivations, people are pretty understanding. So if you are a Rails developer trying to sell Rails to, you know, a director that might consume this type of service, you could even say like, hey, you know, I got a favor to ask. And I would always inoculate against you propositioning them. So I would say something like, I'm pretty booked up for the next like 3 months, but I'm trying to like get better at managing my deal flow. So in 3 to 6 months, I'm going to be looking, you know, to have some new projects to take on. And you would be the kind of person that, you know, that would align with me as a buyer. I'm not trying to sell you anything, but I'm wondering, do you know where people like yourself tend to hang out? You know, are there communities that I could join and kind of learn from? My intent would just be to lurk. I just want to get to understand more about my target market and their problems and what goes on there. So I, you know, you want to reassure them that you're not going to try to sell them anything and that you're not going to try to like AstroTurf in their private community. But if you're transparent about your motivations and then you stick to those and you're not a scammer, that can be super valuable. You cultivate these relationships and then use those relationships to get you access to places where you can really truly learn about your buyer's pain. So now you're in this community of directors and you get to understand like, what are their miseries when hiring freelancers and all that? That's really valuable information. You can take that and feed it back into your own process for prospecting, for sales, that has nothing to do with those people you're learning from. And you can get way better at what you're doing just from that learning. And then I'd round it out by saying, whatever you do, don't spam, don't solicit, don't go back on your word. If you tell people you're not going to sell to them, don't sell to them. It isn't worth it. Again, do the math here. You need to kind of cultivate a professional friendship, let's call it, with 30 people over the course of a year. That's not that many, and the effort required to do it is high. So to try to undermine the whole thing by, I guess, I don't know, trying to close one of these prospects before they're ready for that conversation, you're going to blow up the relationship wholesale. It isn't worth taking shortcuts. So don't jump the gun. Don't spam. Don't solicit. Don't go back on your word. Don't beg for business. If you are going to have and cultivate these relationships, you know, be a good citizen. And if you can't, if you're too desperate for work, fair enough. You got to pay the rent if you've got to pay it, but you should be looking at much more short-term channels. You know, go on to Upwork or, you know, whatever could get you business in the short term. Don't try to use a long-term strategy and channel as a short-term one because you're desperate. If you are desperate for work, this is not the right channel for you. You should be building long-term relationships. So hopefully that helps, and I will catch you all next time.